Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode on my Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. I am so grateful to have you here and listening to today's episode, which is all about echolalia. And side note, before we begin, echolalia is pretty difficult for some people to say. But when you're going to say as much as I am through this episode, I am going to apologize in advance if my echolalia starts to sound a little bit crazy. I also just wanted to remind you to be sure to hit the subscribe button on our podcast. This way you'll be notified when we have a new episode go live. And if you have a spare few moments, I would love for you to leave me a review on this podcast. That way more people can find the show and tune in as well. So back to today's episode. And today I am talking all about echolalia. Echolalia is something that I get asked about quite regularly. But during my time when I've been out visiting other schools and classrooms, I always find it surprising how little people knew about echolalia or the confusion about it too. And some people didn't know anything about it. So today I want to offer an episode that will help you learn more about echolalia, and we're going to start right at the beginning with what is echolalia. Echolalia is where phrases and words are repeated. And this can actually be a sign of autism. Now, this isn't to be confused with young children copying you as they grow up. That is a natural process for language development. This is more of a sign where the repetition continues on after those young toddler years. Echolalia can also be a sign of other things like dementia, traumatic brain injury, and schizophrenia, but it's most often associated with autism. And because of my field that I have knowledge and experience in, this podcast will be all about echolalia and autism. So echolalia is actually a unique form of speech, and for many autistic individuals, this can be one of the first ways that they use speech in order to communicate. There is usually a reason for echolalia, and some of the most common reasons are to ask for things, to interact with others, to keep a conversation going, to gain someone's attention, to protest or refuse something, and to answer yes. Now, you may have heard about echolalia, but did you know that there are two forms of echolalia? There are immediate echolalia and delayed echolalia. Immediate echolalia is where someone will repeat something back to you that they have just heard, which suits the name immediate echolalia. So one example may be, it's time to go to school, and the individual may repeat, time for school. Bryna Siegel, who writes the book Helping Children with Autism Learn, says that this repetition process is where the individual is demonstrating that they can hear, produce speech, and remember it to reproduce it. And the next step up from this is comprehension of speech, but this can take months or even years to develop. So you may now be wondering, why do they do immediate echolalia? Well, some autistic individuals say that for them it's a way of communicating that they heard you and that they're processing what you said. It's a way for them to remain involved with the conversation and how to give an answer, while still having time to process their official answer. Now, as you can imagine, sometimes this can cause problems, which may turn into meltdowns. So, as we just discussed, a lot of the time, immediate echolalia is where the individual is processing what you've said, but they've repeated it back to you while they're working on their proper answer. So, if you ask them, do you want to go swimming or play outside? And they immediately just respond with the second answer, play outside, as part of immediate echolalia, then you may take this as, okay, they want to go outside instead of swimming. But the individual may actually want to go swimming, but they replied instantly without processing and giving their full answer. They're just trying to process the two choices and decide which one they need to respond with. Immediate echolalia is usually always focused on the last word or part of a sentence. So that's immediate echolalia. Now you may be wondering, well, what is delayed echolalia? This is where an individual has memorized a catchphrase or even a paragraph, could even be part of a movie script. Delayed echolalia is the repetition of these phrases after a period of time after the actual occurrence. So it could be minutes later, hours later, even months and years later. And this can happen at any time or place, and not always in an appropriate social context. So what are some reasons for delayed echolalia? Well, there's three possible ones that I want to discuss today. One is self-stimulatory behavior. Two is communicating their mood. And three is reviewing the day. So we'll start with number one and self-stimulatory behavior. Many individuals may find delayed echolalia satisfying and they enjoy to repeat those words or sentences. So this can be part of self-stimulatory behavior. And while this is great that it provides them with that satisfaction, sometimes this can be negative too, because it can sometimes get in the way of having real life appropriate interactions. If we ever find this with a student, we just offer a distraction or direct them to something that's more constructive and appropriate. Two, communicating their mood. So can you ever remember a time where someone said something to you that made you feel really angry? It may have been, it's cancelled, regarding a train cancellation or something that you really needed to access. Well, for an individual with delayed echolalia, every time they may feel angry, they may repeat that phrase, it's cancelled, because that's what they have linked to being able to express their current mood. And finally, reviewing the day. So this could be at the end of the day when the individual is thinking back to everything that happened that day. Then they may start to repeat phrases that they heard, what people said to them or even to others. They may even be able to get the tone of voice that was used when they were said. I also wanted to discuss about functional and non-functional echolalia. So for some individuals with echolalia, it can actually be non-functional because they are repeating meaningless sound. And although to many adults around them, this may feel like they're communicating with meaningful language, but it may not always be the case. So for example, they could be repeating their favourite line from a movie or cartoon, but they don't actually know what they're saying or what it means. But this particular phrase, sentence, or script has a calming effect for them, makes them feel good. So they're repeating it for that feel-good factor rather than using it to communicate. However, there's also functional echolalia. So functional echolalia is really just the opposite of non-functional echolalia. And this is where the individual uses those phrases, words, and sentences that they've memorized in appropriate context. So for example, they may repeat a sentence like, got fries? And then when they are hungry and they want fries, they may say, got fries? Because they feel like this is relevant and being used in context, which it is. You may be wondering, well, how can I identify if my student is using functional or non-functional echolalia? And to be honest, there's no easy answer. It can be really tough to work out. Sometimes it can sound like the student is using functional echolalia, but it may just be that they've memorized a phrase that sort of fits the question that you've asked them. And then I always get asked, well, what can I do about echolalia? Should I stop it? How do I stop it? Well, to be honest, echolalia can actually be a very supportive tool for your students if used in the right circumstances. So we already know how great functional echolalia can be, especially for language development and communication. But you may be thinking that means there's no need for non-functional echolalia, so we need to stop it. But that's not always the case. Non-functional echolalia can be a great place for you to start with a student, especially if you have access to therapies like speech and language or play therapy. These therapists can help the individual use their language skills more appropriately and in the right context, and this can help become more functional. It's because of this that I try and say, don't ever consider stopping echolalia unless you have a really, really valid reason, and speak to those therapists first because they may find an alternative way to help that student rather than just stopping the echolalia. So that is my podcast episode today, all about echolalia and autism. I am pretty impressed that I didn't manage to mess up echolalia as many times as I thought I would, because it's one of those words that is a little tricky. Anyways, I hope that you found today's episode really helpful. I hope you were able to learn a lot about echolalia, functional echolalia, non-functional echolalia, immediate echolalia, and delayed echolalia. So if you have experience with echolalia with your students, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Ask me any questions, send me some feedback, and I would love to hear from you all. Like I say, I would really appreciate you taking those few extra seconds just to scroll down on this and leave a review on this podcast as well. I really appreciate all your support throughout my podcasting journey. So thank you for listening today, and I will speak to you again soon.